Well, we're in a message series from the book of Proverbs called You Can Be Wise. And today we're talking about repairing relationships. You know, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. And one mark of wisdom is that we know how to build friendships, build relationships, but also how to repair relationships, because every relationship needs some maintenance along the way. Conflict is inevitable. A breakup is not inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. Disunity is not inevitable. And sometimes the problem isn't really the problem. Sometimes the problem is the attitude about the problem. And when you change the attitude about the problem, you can change the problem. You got a problem with what I just said? That the attitude is to lean into every conversation with a reconciling spirit, a conciliatory spirit, where you're bringing both of your friends to the table. You're bringing both grace and truth. You're bringing both your cause and your sense of community. You're not bringing one or the other, only my cause or only a conciliatory. You're bringing both so that you can have a full, robust discussion and hopefully move forward together in a spirit of shalom, in a spirit of peace. Well, let's start today. Here in just a moment, I'm going to show you a video. But first of all, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, starting verse 12. A troublemaker and a villain. Everybody say, ooh, a villain. Literally, that person says here is they go about with a corrupt mouth. And now notice verse 13, the nonverbals. They wink maliciously with their eyes. Signals with his feet, motions with his fingers. They did it back in that day too. Nonverbals. Just sort of, you've seen the person roll their eyes like, what a moron. Who plots evil with deceit in his heart. And he always stirs up conflict. Verse 15, God says, I'm sending my son Jesus to build harmony, a new community, and unity. And I do not view lightly any kind of spirit that just in a trite way stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He'll suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Look how strongly God feels about this. Continuing verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And whenever you see this kind of teaching in the book of Proverbs, there are three things, even four. There are two things, even three. There are six things, even seven. It's a way of teaching that says, I'm about to give a list, and the seventh item I mention is the most significant. There are six things the Lord finds detestable, even seven. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and here's the seventh, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You see, God delights in the pursuit of unity. How beautiful it is, says the book of Psalms. And in our unity in Christ Jesus, as we seek to pursue that, listen, that's not about just being nice. It's about being prophetic. It's about being prophetic to the world that says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And under his umbrella, we are doing all we can to be a new community together. And to pursue peace and not be the kind of person who easily and quickly runs to stir up unnecessary conflict. This past January in Gainesville, Florida, Officer Bobby White was dispatched to an address because of a complaint. The complaint was, there are some kids out playing basketball in the neighborhood, and they're playing basketball too loudly. Now, it's not 11 o'clock at night. It's the middle of the day. And so Officer Bobby White responds to that situation, pulls up, walks up to a kid playing basketball, and he said, listen, there's been a complaint. Somebody called in a complaint. Kids out here playing basketball, playing with too much noise. You know, I don't see anything. And said, quite honestly, I don't have a problem with that. Well, let me just show you the video. This was his car cam, and here you kind of see what happens. Officer Bobby White, Gainesville, Florida. Pulls up, talks to the kid. I don't have a problem with this. Here you go. So he starts playing. Nice shot. A little 2-on-1. Other people start joining the action. There you go. Now he's talking smack. See, here you go. A little trash talk and throw down. Yeah, there you go. Now, Officer White says, guys, I'm going to be back next day or two. And when I'm back, I'm bringing backup with me. So get ready. And so sure enough, former NBA player and NBA Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal hears about this. Shaquille O'Neal makes a surprise visit to the Gainesville Police Department and finds Officer White and says, I want to go with you as your backup when you go head over to that neighborhood. And so sure enough, here's what happened. Told you I'd be back. Here I am. Told you I was going to bring backup. I'm bringing some backup today. Get ready. Here he is. Get that thing out of here. Okay, here's what Officer Bobby White did. He walked into a situation. Listen, there are legitimate problems you have to address. And then sometimes, you ever known somebody who makes a mountain out of a molehill? Sure. He comes into a situation, he could have escalated it, or he could de-escalate it. Let me ask you something. Are you the kind of person that when you walk into a potential scenario, you're the kind of person you like to ramp up the RPMs, or are you the kind of person who can diffuse something? A lot of problems are much more solvable than we think if we will lean into them with a reconciling spirit. What happens is there's some sort of disruption. And in that disruption, in that conflict, we turn away and we move away from the other. It might be a coworker, it might be a spouse, it might be a family member, it might be a friend. There's some sort of disruption, and in the disruption, I turn away. But for a reconciliation to occur, two parties have to turn back and at least start to move toward the other. A journey towards the other that can lead to a reconciliation encounter. Have you ever heard of the HEAL plan? H-E-A-L. Melanie Greenberg's written about it. I'm going to take that little acrostic, put Proverbs to it, because it speaks so well out of the book of Proverbs. In relational repair, pursue healing. H-E-A-L. H, hear. Listen without defensiveness. And this is tough. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And sometimes the enemy is not a person who hates you. This is the person who simply says what you want to hear. But wounds from a friend can be can be trusted. Here's the point. Can you listen, at least listen, without being defensive? I mentioned John Gottman a couple of weeks ago in his landmark work on marriage. He says there are four predictors that a marriage is not going to do so well. And here's one. Defensiveness. Just defensiveness. Can we sort of do mass confession time? How many of you in this room would say you're sort of prone to being defensive? I mean, the least little bit coming your way, you know, you resist. Would you say you tend to be a little defensive? Would you, if that's you, would you mind raising your hand for a moment? Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Actually, you're not the defensive ones. You raise your hand. You're not the defensive. It's all the people who didn't raise their hand. Those are the defensive ones. Because you're out there going, well, I'm not defensive. I'm not raising my hand. Why does he think I'm defensive? I'm not defensive. Here, listen without defensive. Mine out the kernels of the truth. In other words, and as long as you're defensive, you're not going to be in a problem-solving mode. Dr. John Paul Lederach engages in reconciliation talks all over the world, sometimes nation to nation. He's on the faculty at the University of Notre Dame. One of his books is called Reconcile: Conflict Transformation for Ordinary People. And he says this. He says, can you engage in a conversation that's not about winning or losing? It's just about deepening understanding. And then he goes on and he says, if we are incapable of listening to a human being across from us that we don't agree with, how in the world can we possibly listen to God who's going to say things to you that you don't agree with? Come back and say, to what degree have I developed the patience to really engage and listen when I'm in situations where I disagree with a person? You start by hearing. Listen, I fully understand there are substantive issues that have to be worked through, but you can't work through them at all. I can't even start until you come here. Mick Jagger was right. You can't always get what you want. I can't always give you what you want. But it begins by at least coming to understand what we want and listening. And that leads to number two, empathize. And borrow a statement from Stephen Covey, you seek to understand before being understood. Empathize. You want to create an adversary? Let me tell you how you do it. You ready? Here you go. You set that person up as different. And rather than viewing all the things you have in common, you emphasize the things that are not, you emphasize the differences. And then, second thing you got to do, you got to exaggerate things. You need to exaggerate your own goodness. Because if you'll do that, exaggerate your, now you're not dealing with truth. You're exaggerating your own motives, and you're exaggerating that person's faults. And so now you're not dealing with the truth in that person. And you hold up a mirror, and what do you see? Virgin Mary. And you hold up a mirror to that person, what do you see? Jezebel. And here's the third thing you do. Create a cartoon. That person becomes a cartoon. You ever seen a caricature of a person? Especially if a cartoonist doesn't like an individual, they'll take something in that person's feature and what? Exaggerate it. Their nose is a little big, so now in the cartoon it's really big. Their ears are really big. Now you make a cartoon character out of that person. And you've created a nice adversary. Back to Lederach. He says, our capacity to listen to God is only as great as our capacity to listen to one another. And I mean that literally. We test our real capability to listen, not when it's easy, but when it's difficult. Listening is not just a technique devised to improve communication. It's about the process of engaging truth and finding the will of God. Again, there are substantive issues that have to be worked through, but part of the place of getting there is hearing, empathizing. Number three, you act. Act. Apologize and take steps of change, if appropriate. Are you a good, are you pretty good with making an apology? You know, some people are not. Remember the old TV show Happy Days? And Fonzie couldn't even bring himself to say, you know, I'm sorry. And some of our apologies are pretty weak. Well, I'm sorry if you took that the wrong way. Well, I'm sorry if you weren't bright enough to pick on what I was intending to say. I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry that you were so sensitive. Yeah, those are really fine apologies, aren't they? Those go a long way. And sometimes we do need to apologize for a mistake, something very unintentional. Ronnie, you were standing on my foot. I'm sorry, I had no idea. I apologize. But sometimes it was intentional. And in those scenarios where trust needs to be rebuilt in a way, what are the ingredients of a good apology? Let me give them to you. Number one, it demonstrates a true awareness of the pain and the difficulty you've caused for that other person. Second, it includes a real remorse for the wrong done or the difficulty done. Number three, it takes full responsibility for your actions and your choices. And you think, well, I was only 40% responsible. I'll take 100% responsibility, though, for my 40%. Fourth, it seeks to make amends. Sometimes you do the Zacchaeus thing, and you do what? You repay. If you can make restitution, you make restitution. You make amends. You do what you can to set things right. And number five, it commits to change. In the future, I promise you, you're going to see something different from me. And then, as you seek to rebuild trust, you're bringing forth, what does the Bible say? Fruits of repentance. And in a relationship where trust has been broken, can it be rebuilt? Sometimes. It takes two. But hope is reborn when one person decides you're going to see something different from me down the line, and the other person decides to trust again. And that is a wonder of God. Hearing, empathizing, act, and L, love. You express the love of God. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says this, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." Now, that second phrase illustrates the first, explains the first. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Do you know what it means to hold a grudge? It means you keep repeating it over and over. You repeat it to yourself. You might repeat it to that person. You might repeat it to others, but it doesn't get covered. And you have ill will. And your happiness is tied to that other person's unhappiness. You want to see comeuppance there. You want to see a difficulty there. Ever gone to a restaurant? Time for the bill. You get ready to pull out your wallet, and somebody else says, "No, no, no, I'll cover it." And what do? They pay for it. And it costs them. And if I cover over an offense, it might cost me. And it might hurt. And I'll want to keep repeating it. But that is not the way of wisdom. The way of relational wisdom is, he who covers over an offense promotes love. And this is not easy. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22, a statement that you'll find repeated in the New Testament in Romans chapter 12. If your enemy's hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And in doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. In other words, this will be an obvious, unmistakable action that's not every day. And you could just see your enemy as a cartoon. And you could just see your enemy as someone inferior to you. And you could just see your enemy as someone with whom you have absolutely nothing in common. Or you could see your enemy in a way that where some reconciliation can occur. Right now, your mate might be an adversary, but some closeness can be rebuilt. What do? Well, before you feel forgiveness, you act it. And before you can feel the reconciliation, you act it. So what do? You take some sacrificial action. I'll feed you. I'll give you something to drink. I will go out of my way for you to see if what we can do, as far as it depends on me, to try to rebuild this thing. What did God do when we were alienated from Him? He took radical action, radical sacrifice, because He wanted us to be reconciled. I hope you'll lean into that spirit. I hope you'll lean into that attitude. I realize there's some complexities in life. As I've said earlier, I realize there's substantive issues to work through. But you begin hearing, empathizing, be willing to apologize and act and express the love of God. You see, the love of God, it's not just a reality that saves us. It's an ethic. It's an ethic that can save our relationships as well. God bless you.